We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Okay, I just glanced over at the Twitch chat.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they're talking about. The only sentence I see is, a powerful dog comes with responsibility.
Yeah, I suppose. Isn't that the Spider-Man thing?
Great dogs with come great.
Powerful dogs comes powerful responsibility.
Generally on our Twitch chat, which you can always watch the show, boss, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. There's usually 2 to 3 conversations going on.
Okay.
Because there was some talk about, you know, how, oh, I don't understand what kids are talking about either. And then I just look up in Tennessee, Seth is just listing dogs. German Shepherds, Huskies, Rotties, Dobies, all well, very strong and fast.
Good dogs.
Those are great dogs.
I used to dog shit for a Newfie.
Oh, I love those.
Those dogs are
those
great.
Those are awesome.
But they don't know their own strength. They're huge. They're like bears, you
well,
know?
Because like, they want to be like lap dogs. They're so friendly.
Yeah. So they'll like jump up on you and all of a sudden you're getting crushed underneath this
those
giant
dogs are
Newfie.
Awesome.
They are good
they
dogs.
They just make me laugh when I see them.
Yeah. They're the only especially dogs that like city. That an adult can like ride around like a horsey, you know?
That's why you get one.
That is why.
You ride it to work and then you park it outside. And
like
you
a
say,
dire wolf.
I'll be back in 8 hours. You stay here.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is the police lot. You can't park your Newfie here.
What do you mean?
Come on, look at that face.
Crazy.
Look at that face.
Look at all these Newfies backed up down Storrow Drive.
Bad track. That's why, you know what? That's why no one booed Draymond Green last night because the traffic was too bad.
They
no one was in their seats yet.
Wouldn't that have made them angrier, though, once they got there?
Yeah, but by the time they got there, the player intros were over. They missed their moment, you know? once that
you
goes.
You have a preoccupation with the player intros at NBA games.
I like player intros. I enjoy the pageantry.
Like, the relief that I saw on your face when I told you that I was in my seat by the time that they were doing the player intros.
I was like, phew.
Arcane gets the goosebumps after they finish, like, and, you know, center for the Golden State Warriors, number 5, Kevon Looney. And then the lights go out. And all the music starts to play. And then you hear, what is Eddie Pellegrino? Get loud for your Boston Celtics. And yeah. Arcane's like, yes, I'm ready to get loud.
That's right. I start rocking and leaning like the cheerleaders, you know. Like, I do the whole thing. I think that's fine. You know why? Because in the old days, cue the music, Ryan, back in the old days at the Old Garden, they didn't do any player intros. There were no player intros. There were no cheerleaders. Red Auerbach said, we're not having cheerleaders, and we're not doing any of this fancy crap that they're doing over there in Chicago with the music and all that other stuff. No.
I would have thought, like, L.A., but sure.
L.A., whatever. They weren't doing it. Red said, we're not doing this.
Larry Bird would walk in, put out his cigarette, tie his shoes, and then take the floor.
He didn't even wear shoes. He didn't play in shoes. A lot of people
true.
Don't know.
That's right.
That's how tough he was.
Kevin
that's
McHale.
That's how long ago it
Kevin
was.
McHale would shotgun a Keystone Ice and then go take the opening tip. That's how they played back then. And there was none of that stuff. So now that they have it, I like it. When Kevin Garnett used to scream right before that thing started, that was awesome. Everybody
like
loved that.
That.
Oh, man, that was great. When they brought that back for Kevin Garnett last year, that was cool, too. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Kevin Garnett this hour. We do want to talk about the Patriots. And I know, what's there to say about the Patriots? They're interviewing offensive coordinators. I think they talked with Sean Jefferson today, or they were scheduled to talk with Jefferson today. The Bill O'Brien interview was yesterday, and there's some questions now. Questions about O'Brien and whether or not an offensive coordinator job is even what he's looking for at this point. there's still plenty of head coaching vacancies out there in the NFL. Maybe there's a team that likes O'Brien for something like that. Burt Breer was on NBC Sports Boston last night, and he tackled some of these questions along with the Patriots and how they may be in the same position as another team also in the AFC East was last year.
I mean, as far as I've heard, like, it sounds like everything went smoothly into plan. Like, and I don't think this thing is a slam dunk. You know, there's obviously potentially some other opportunities for him out there. Do the Tennessee Titans give him a call? They've obviously got an opening. They just wrapped up their general manager search. He's also very close with Monty Austinfort, the new GM in Arizona. So could he get a head coaching interview in Arizona? I think all these things are things to consider, but certainly I think this is what everybody, you know, who roots for the Patriots wanted, because he's got background in the offense. I think the transition here will be seamless. He's got some background, not a ton, but some background with Mac Jones. It feels to me like this is all sort of set up where the Patriots, if they wanted to close the deal quickly, they could.
Can we start there?
Sure.
If the Patriots wanted to close the deal quickly, they could, but Breer says it's not a slam dunk. The interview yesterday was not a slam dunk. Went as planned, like, sounds like it was successful, but it wasn't like at the end, like, everybody high-fived.
Right.
They were like, let's get started.
They weren't like, you're not leaving here till you sign this contract, Bill. Like, that didn't happen.
Well,
like,
that would be kind of disrespectful in a way, don't you think?
Yeah.
If somebody hands you a job offer and they're like, you decide this right here and now, you're like, no.
Otherwise, the offer's off the table. Yeah, like, I hate crap like that.
No, yeah. You got to be like, hey, you know, I need a little bit to talk to my family. And, of course, that doesn't really, like, mean much because you've already talked to your family.
Sure.
But you want to go home and think it over and make sure that you can't, you know, squeeze a little more out of it. Really is the truth.
Was a job offered, do you think? Do you think they said, you're our man, we want you, and this is...
Well, this was something that
balls in your court now,
Tommy Kern slipped in a little bit when we talked to him the other day. He said that he thought there would be an offer. That he said it kind of casually, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't take it as a report, but it was kind of like, that's a foregone conclusion. That Bill O'Brien, if I'm remembering correctly, I hope I'm remembering correctly, but I do remember that conversation going as if it's expected generally that the logical thing would be for him to get the offer.
Okay. So let's say an offer was made and it wasn't taken right there at the table, you know, and then Bill said, that's great. Thanks for the offer. I'm going to take it home. I'm going to go think about it. End of the weekend.
Well, how about I'm going to take
about
it
through
home
the week?
And I'm going to work some back channels with some other people.
Well, yeah, I'm going to interview with these other head
but
coaching
we
jobs now.
We haven't seen him get interviewed anywhere else, right? That's where the Monty thing is really interesting that Breer slipped in there.
Yeah, and the Arizona situation is one that I think O'Brien could do okay in. You know, as a head coach, I don't know. For an offensive coordinator, I think that he still has all the chops and all the qualifications for that, and the Patriots would be much better off with him as their offensive coordinator, sure. But I don't think that, you know, we all talk about it like it's such a great fit, and it is for the Patriots. But for Bill O'Brien, it's the same job he had 11 years ago, and now he's reapplying for it. If there's a head coaching job out there that he can take, of course he's going to take it, right? Like, that's sort of what I think. I don't know. And, like, there's the family aspect of it, which Kern, again, said was a big, big thing in his decision-making
really
process. And I'm sure it is. But there's also a big difference between coordinator money and head coach money. And
yes.
For your family, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer there, too. You know, I'll see you in the offseason.
It's also,
honey, we're
look,
making a lot of money here.
Here's the other side of it. You know, I do think this is a good situation for Bill O'Brien to walk into, and that he'll most likely be successful, at least on its face,
mm-hmm.
if he comes in here and turns things around. And like, it's going to be successful, I believe. How? That's not a guarantee, though. If he has the opportunity to have a head coaching job in Arizona versus the opportunity to be an offensive coordinator here, maybe fail and then have no options other than continue doing the job, to your point, that he was doing years ago. You know, do you really, like, if you can skip the step that you might fail at, wouldn't you do that?
Yeah,
they have very strict criteria right now in Arizona, too.
Ego will not be tolerated in this organization.
Okay. If you say so there. You say so there, Monty. Breer went on to talk about...
We're going
to build a team. Okay. Breer went on to talk about the Patriots and the position that they're in right now with their quarterback. And he compares it to a team which, you know, you think about it, it's not really that far off of a comparison. Certainly with the position that they're in with their Alabama quarterback who, well, maybe didn't have the greatest season.
I look at this as such a critical point with your young quarterback, and I've made this comparison before. I think the Patriots are right now where the Dolphins were with Tua Tagovailoa last year, where they really didn't have answers on who they have as a quarterback. to the point where they're ready to make a decision on potentially a $30 million fifth-year option or extending the guy. And so now, in his third offseason, they've got to do things to try to put pieces around him where they can get clarity on the quarterback. One way to do that is to go with the safest guy, the safest pick, as your offensive coordinator, and that's very clearly Bill O'Brien.
Okay.
Well, the good news is now Miami is really clear with what they're going to do with Tua.
I mean, I'll tell you, that does throw a wrench into all of this, and I know that whenever I've praised Mike McDaniels or the Dolphins and what they've done with Tua, yeah, there's a giant asterisk, and that is that, yeah, God, Tua may never play football again.
Show off with the tough word.
Because of all his concussions that he's gotten. And I agree that that's an awful thing, and it sucks for them and it sucks for him. But prior to that, Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, he really unlocked something this year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like, what Tua became, Mac Jones could only hope and pray. And I think that you need to have those kind of receivers and people to throw to, sure, but you also have to have someone designing an offense that plays to your strengths. And Tua, I mean, listen, Tyreek Hill is the type of wide receiver who can do a lot of different things. He can get open down the field. He can get open over the middle. Like, he's shifty and fast, and he can do a lot of things. But Tua Tagovailoa is not Russell Wilson bombing the ball 65, you know, Josh Allen 65-yard bombs down the field.
I like how you switch that. Or either one of them. Really quickly.
Wilson used to be more of that, yes, but now Allen's more that guy. And so, like, that's not Tua. He could be, you know, Tyreek Hill could work with a guy like that, and certainly Waddle can, but, like, they were able to streamline an offense that worked out perfectly for everybody. I mean, that offense was a well-oiled machine until Tua started, you know, started banging his head, unfortunately. And that's a big wrench to throw into all this. But I think that ultimately here, like, the Patriots would do well to sort of emulate, aside from the concussion angle of it, but emulate what the Dolphins did in terms of streamlining the offense and building something that made their quarterback comfortable.
I would be worried about the streamlining idea, because I think that's what they try to do. They say that they try to do with the playbook this year. Like, I'm not sure that's exactly, and I don't know that they can replicate what the Dolphins did, where they shored up the line at the same time that they were able to get Tyreek Hill and already had Waddle in there. Mm-hmm. Like, the Patriots just feel further away from that. But at the same time, Mac is a different kind of quarterback. And I think that if they can get an offensive coordinator in here who can understand what Mac's strengths are, to your point, and play to those, that's just the first step. I don't know if at the end of next season they're going to be able to tell if Mac is a franchise guy. And that's really scary. That's what's so scary about having this lost year, is like, it's not just that it feels like a regression for Mac. It looks like a regression for Mac, and not even just being put in this holding pattern, but you lost a whole year of evaluation. Unless you really believe that this is who Mac is. And if you do, then if you believe that this is who Mac is, then you've already made your decision.
It's kind of true. Guys,
thanks.
Guys, if that's what you believe,
actually,
I mean,
true,
no, I'm saying I agree with you. I think that if this is what Mac, if you've made that decision, right? Like, if that's sort of where you stand on it,
then wouldn't you be moving on?
You would be.
Wouldn't you behind the scenes be trying to find a new quarterback?
Except you still have a financial incentive here. Right.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find a new quarterback, it means you got to draft a new quarterback, and then you have to go through all that, or you have to sign somebody or something else. You still
so
have a cost control.
Try to make it work for another year with the quarterback on the cheap contract and see how far you get.
And I'll tell you what, that's right up Bill Belichick's alley, isn't it?
It's,
you know,
just
that
so
sort of
dark.
Thing. It is, but that's,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
I know, Bill, it is. And that's why I think you're not going to move on from him now, unless they go to Bailey Zappi or something, or decide to really downgrade and say anybody can do this.
Happen.
I don't think so either. I think the team and the organization really likes Mac Jones. And I also think that teammates, you know, unless you want to really overhaul that roster again, then you have to stick with Mac Jones. Because you saw that poem he posted on Instagram? All his teammates replied to it. Almost every single one of the offensive linemen, defensive players, wide receivers, tight ends, everybody's in there like, yeah, Mac, cool. Like,
yeah. You're
cool
my
Rudyard
guy.
Cool Rudyard Kipling
my
poem.
My guy.
My man.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fine. Like, whatever. I'm not even making fun of him. Although that was like the poem that everybody read on their high school graduation. You
if
know,
you
was
can
one of
keep
those.
Your head when all about
it's
you are losing
poem.
Theirs okay. And blaming it on you.
I think like 7 or 8 kids from my high school class all got like a framed, that poem in a frame for like graduating high school, which is fine. Either way,
Apparently, it's a poem that his dad taught him, and that's nice.
That's
why
great.
You gotta be such a jerk?
I'm just being a jerk. Whatever.
God,
either way,
he likes poetry. So what? You don't like a quarterback who likes poetry?
You can like poetry all you
Sounds
want.
Sounds like you can.
If you can trust yourself when all men are doubting you, but make allowance for their doubting.
I'm sorry,
it's
not Robert Frost. He wasn't walking by the woods on a snowy evening or whatever that one is.
That's a good one.
Someone told me that their dad used to read that to her every night. And I said, that's disgusting. That poem's about sex. And she got really upset. And I said, that was a joke.
Walking through the woods in the snowy evenings
not.
About sex. It's not.
Though. I think it might be about death.
Okay.
That's usually poems are about death
All
or
poems
sex.
Are about
or
death
both.
Or sex. I'm pretty sure.
Or looking at a pond.
Or like walking into a river with stones in your pockets.
Right. Where the
or
sidewalk ends.
A tiger that's on fire. Tiger, tiger, burning bright. Remember that one?
I don't know that one. Who
William,
wrote that
William
one?
Blake, I think.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, 617.
This has been Poetry Corner?
77. Yes, this is Poetry Corner here on NPR. 617-779 WBUR Public Broadcasting. We'll be right back right after Trending here with Ryan Garber.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're right back to WEEI.
Sports Radio WEEI is Boston Sports Original. Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini here with you until 6 o'clock. We'll get to the division round in just a minute. Chiefs Jaguars, Eagles Giants, Bills Bengals, Niners Cowboys. Some good games there. Some exciting matchups. Interesting matchups. The only one I think that you look at and doesn't really have that much juice might be Chiefs Jaguars.
Yeah,
like that's, I mean, that's the only one.
The very first one is a bit of a... I mean, unless you think that Trevor Lawrence is going to put together two second halves.
It's a playoff game at Arrowhead, which I think is inherently fun. And I do think that the Chiefs are a little vulnerable. I do. I don't know. I feel like we say this all the time, and then they end up cruising back to the Super Bowl or to the championship game or something like that, or the
we
conference
sit here
championship.
And we go, oh, they're not the 2019 Chiefs. They're not this Chiefs. They're not that Chiefs. So then... There they are.
Yeah, there they are. I think the Jaguars should be a good game. Eagles-Giants is going to be great. Bills-Bengals, I think, is going to be fun, even though the Bengals are getting screwed there. And Niners-Cowboys, I'm excited for as well. We'll get to the more in-depth on those matchups in just a moment. But first, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's talk to Steve, who is in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I feel like you downplayed the talent level of the Miami receivers, and you overplayed what the coaches did. And I think a lot of people are doing that, and that's leading them to think, we're going to solve all the problems the New England Patriots have by bringing in different coordinators to run this offense. And I think it's time to quantify what these two sides of the ball are. And I'll start with my quantification. The coaching in the NFL is, out of the four major sports, the most impactful. but I think it only represents 20% of the product on the field. I think the players represent 80%, and the quarterback represents a boatload of that 80%. So, we've got a quarterback here, Mac Jones, who's, going into his third year. We hope he becomes Daniel Jones with good coaching and a better roster. But you have to have guys that can play. And if it's on your offense, you have to have playmakers.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I agree. You do have to have playmakers. With that said, the quarterback makes up a big percentage of it. Yeah, that's true. But Tua Tagovailoa wasn't some great quarterback. He wasn't some game-breaking quarterback. He was a first, second-year guy who was kind of struggling to find his way and dealing with injuries. And, he had Waddle last year, and Waddle, I think, set the rookie receptions record. So, it's not like it was totally different. The big difference was, Tyreek Hill obviously was a big one too, but the coach came in and completely revamped that whole offense and made it into something totally unrecognizable from the Brian Flores offense. Come on, it's not even close. And again, Tyreek Hill is a big, big factor into that. Of course he is, but he's one guy. And it wasn't just him. It wasn't just Tyreek Hill running, go routes or running across the middle of the field. It's different in this Miami offense. It's completely different. And I think that to sort of dismiss that is dismissing a big, big chunk. That being said, it takes more than just coaching. He's right about that. You do need to put the players there. And the Patriots, I'm not sure, are committed to that. I'm not sure that they're committed to doing what it takes to get a Tyreek Hill in here or a wide receiver of that caliber. I don't think that they really value those type of players that much. Historically, they haven't.
So it's interesting to me because I know Tommy Curran, when he was on here with us the other day, he's been banging this drum that they don't have to do that much else at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like re-sign Jacoby Myers, which I feel like they should, to keep that production on the team and kind of a sure thing at receiver, that they should re-sign him, even if it's, $10 million a year, $11 million a year. I don't know about $12 million a year. But in that ballpark, they should do it.
I go to 15 for Myers. I would.
There you go. So you're all in.
I think he's worth that. If it was, if you're trying to keep him and not have him sign away to another team, I think his market could get up to 15.
But I feel like Steve, the caller's underlying point there was that the talent that they have in Miami with the receivers is so far away from the talent that you have here in New England. And I'm not sure if that's totally true. Like, I know it looked that way completely this year, but I don't think we can underscore enough how much that's tied to the coordinator. It really is. And I know you can say that coaching is only this percent or that percent, but when I look at the numbers from some of the receivers who you assume are going to be here again next year and who are going to be high up on the depth chart, like Devontae Parker, only 539 yards, 31 catches. Kendrick Bourne, 434 yards. This was a guy who I think a lot of us predicted to have a 1,000-yard season. And I just don't think that this year demonstrates who those guys can be. Maybe that's a little pie in the sky, a little optimistic, but I really feel that way. I really feel like the pendulum's going to swing if they're here, and you assume that they're going to be here, much further in the other direction than what we saw this year. And maybe they're not going to be Tyreek Hill. Like, you can look at those guys and say they don't have that natural speed. Most receivers don't.
Right.
And maybe you feel like they need to go out and get somebody like that. I mean, you have a speedster in Tyquan Thornton, but I don't think that they're those guys. I don't think that Kendrick Bourne is a 434-yard guy. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like half of what he did last year.
You know, it's funny. They're interviewing Sean Jefferson today, and in some ways, I sort of feel like he'd be a perfect guy on this team because all the wide receivers are kind of like Sean Jefferson. You know what I mean? Like, Kendrick Bourne is sort of like Sean Jefferson-y.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a little bit of him in the Devontae Parker. You remember Jefferson, like, he didn't put up huge numbers. He'd give you like 700-800 yards. That's about like a Jacoby Myers season. Like, all these guys are very Sean Jefferson-y, Like, I feel like there's a lot of that in this wide receiver room. Now, does that mean that you want to bring in a receiver like that and have them run the offense? Maybe. I'd prefer to upgrade. Like, no diss to Sean Jefferson. I liked him a lot when I was a kid, and I thought he was a great player. But, you wanted them to have somebody else. You'd feel good about that, but then you'd really want Jerry Rice or, Randy Moss or Chris Carter or Tim Brown or one of those guys. back in the 90s. Jesus.
Knocking water over there.
Luckily, the cap was on. But, yeah.
Sean Jefferson never had a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
A lot of targets, though. Where he was getting targeted a lot.
And he was reliable.
Twice.
Caught a lot of balls and was a reliable target there on those teams in the 90s, on those Bledsoe teams. So, like, there's a role for guys like that, obviously. It's just that's all the Patriots have. All the Patriots have is a bunch of Sean Jeffersons. And, you know, eventually you want to have somebody who's just a little bit more of a game breaker.
I also feel that it's okay if you want the Patriots to go out and get a star wide receiver because you want to watch a star wide receiver every week in your team's uniform.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people dance around that a little bit because they're like, well, this is how other teams win, and this is the development of the quarterback. And you can make those cases, but you can also make the case of it's just a lot more fun to watch guys like that play, to watch Stephon Diggs play, to watch Justin Jefferson play. Like, Davante Adams when the Raiders can get something going, to see those guys play in your uniform. That's okay, too. It's just, you know, I don't know if that's one of the top priorities for your offense in this offseason.
I'd say in the last three Super Bowl winners all had game-breaking wide receivers. Cooper Kupp last year. You had Tampa Bay with all the guys they had.
Godwin.
Evans and Godwin. And then Tyreek Hill in 2020 with the Chiefs. I mean, that's the last 3 years. Those are the last three teams. They all had game-breaking, historic wide receiver play.
And
I know it's just the way it is.
You said it, you know, under your breath, but I agree with you, Megan. And before he went completely off his rocker, there was a really, really high level of intrigue when the Patriots did go out and sign Antonio Brown. It's like, yes, finally, this is the best guy, the best wide receiver that Tom Brady's probably had since Randy Moss. Oh, they are going to destroy. And it looked really promising for that 1 week that he played here, but that's just it. And by the way, look at, you know, yes, it would be a lot of fun to have a star receiver, but again, the obvious, look at what Stephon Diggs has done for Josh Allen. Look at what Tyreek Hill has done for Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Jefferson. I mean, there's a reason that the Vikings played as well as they did this year. It's just like that one piece, unless they figure out how to use Devontae Parker, because I don't think they were using him right early on in the season. But yeah, I completely agree.
Devontae Parker, I think, has that kind of potential. I think that we saw
there's something there. There's something there with that guy.
Last year, I think Kendrick Bourne, we sort of thought the next step for him would be maybe a 1,000-yard season after he 800 yards with a rookie quarterback. Like, there was reason to think that that would get better. You need, I think at this point in the NFL, and I know the Patriots got along a long time and won a lot of championships without this per se, but at this point in the NFL with a quarterback who's not Tom Brady, these are the things you need to do. These are the things you need to do to elevate your QB play and your offense play. And instead, they did the polar opposite of that. They brought in a coach who didn't know what he was doing and didn't bring in any big wide receivers. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. There's your number. Nate's in the truck. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
You're absolutely right with the receivers. I mean, we talk about you got to score more than 30 points to win these games. What do you think that's going to be on the heels of? Not a running back. It's going to be a top receiver. You got to look at all these offenses. The KC's with Juju Smith-Schuster to Kelsey to Joe Burrow with Chase and Higgins. This day and age of, like, defense is going to win championships and only defenses, that's not what today's NFL is nowadays. You got to get at least a number one or number two. In this Patriots offense, you've got number threes and fours, and that's just not going to make it.
Yeah, Nate, thanks for the call, and you're absolutely right. And just look at these teams playing the division round. The Jaguars spent big on Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, they don't have great wide receivers, but they went out and signed Smith-Schuster.
They also have
they have a really good tight end,
the best quarterback in the whole league.
Best quarterback, for sure. But I'm just talking about, you know, do you need these type of players to win? And I think you do. The Eagles, I can't even measure the impact that A.J. Brown's had on that team. The Bills, the Bengals, the Niners, and Cowboys. Everybody except the Giants really has elite-level wide receiver
play. Of the teams that you watch this weekend in the divisional round, watch the Eagles. I think it's so interesting what they did in their offseason with Jalen Hurts, because in a really similar position where they really didn't know whether they should go in on Jalen Hurts or not, and a different kind of quarterback than Mac, but getting A.J. Brown, getting an offensive coordinator in there, I believe also his third in 3 years or something along those lines, maybe the second in 3 years, but I think the third. And he's been through a lot of offensive coordinators in college and such. And look at them now. Like, they figured it out. They turn it around and they're in a really great position. And so we talk about, oh, what like Cincy did with Joe Burrow and what Buffalo did with Steph Diggs. Yep. And I just think that's a really interesting test case.
I think so too. I think that the Niners with Deebo Samuel, the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb. I mean, there's been a lot of instances where they just hit in the draft. And, you know, the Bengals, I mean, they had Jamar Chase, who was the number one. But, like, you know, for a lot of these teams, they hit in the draft. The Eagles drafted Devontae Smith. He was, you know, he was an Alabama guy. They hit a home run with him. And now they have, through the trade and through their drafting, a wide receiver room that's right up there. I mean, those two, you look at their numbers.
They
had
2,000-yard receivers this year.
They're unbelievable. Those two are unbelievable
this
year.
In points scored, the Eagles went from 12th place to 3rd place, and I think a lot of that has to do with what they were able to do with A.J. Brown. Because, by the way, while the Patriots were getting the doors blown off in the wild card last year, guess who else looked like complete trash and like they did not belong whatsoever?
You're right.
It was the Philadelphia Eagles. They got smoked by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I mean, that game was never close. They had some garbage time touchdown at the end. But it's just, I don't know if it's a mental block with this team as far as, oh, defense is going to win. Guess what? The Patriots scored over 30 points one time this year. And it was against the Cleveland Browns.
And who was quarterbacking that game? I forget.
Bailey,
who was it?
Zappe.
It was Bailey Zappe. That's right. Bailey, it was Bailey Zappe, who had the 130-plus point game.
So, you know what? I take it back. They don't need to get a top-line wide receiver.
You know what?
They just got to play Zappe. That's all. Zappe,
I would love to just be in the position next year with the Patriots where, instead of where we are now, like, it's like the Jalen Hurts conversation where people are like, is Jalen Hurts really this good? Is Jalen Hurts just a fraud? Is Jalen Hurts just a product of the environment he's in? Kind of closer to where we were with Mac last year, instead of just like, oh my God, is it going to be going back into the draft again? Should they bring Jimmy Garoppolo in a bloated contract? Should they, you know, are they going to do these pick swaps, whatever? Like, it's just, oh, can you at least get back to the fraud conversation? Can you get back to that standard of, like, is this a product of the environment of Foxborough rather than is the Patriot way dead? You know, because it feels like that's where we're at.
It feels like it's on life support at the very least. And, you know, you have a new team with a lot of new players in it and guys that just got here. Guys that either just got drafted recently and are now asked to play an important role in the team, like quarterback and other big positions, or you're talking about free agents who just signed for big money and are here now and maybe aren't super impressed with what they're seeing so far and don't really love the direction that their career is going in now that they've joined the New England Patriots. When has that ever been a thing before? You know, like, that was the Patriot way. That was a big part of it. That was a big part of the allure and the mystique and sort of everything. These free agents and these other players that they brought in, even if they drafted one. And, you know, they didn't seem like right away the player was catching on. Well, you just wait till that second year, and now all of a sudden Damian Harris is the starting running back, and now all of a sudden, you know, who knows? But it just doesn't happen like that anymore.
God,
now,
Bill Belichick would wax poetic over offensive players in their second year. Specifically, I remember him talking about how big Philip Dorsett was going to be his second year with the system. Like, oh, here we go. We are living in the Phil Dorsett era. I mean, look at Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne was sitting on a golf cart with Mike Reese talking about how dope the new system was, and everybody knows their role, and they're going to put us in a position to succeed, to being in Matt Patricia's effing doghouse for 60% of the year because, I don't know, he had a problem with how they were trying to run this Shanahan offense, which they inevitably threw out. Let Kendrick cook.
Yeah, maybe let him run the offense.
Real,
at least he knew what it was.
I'd do it.
Real quick,
yes.
Can I run through these with you? Who you want? Not who you got. Who do you want? Chiefs, Jags.
Jags.
Are you just going to choose dogs the whole way through?
You said, who do I want?
Okay, yeah, Jags.
Jags.
Eagles, Giants.
Man, I hate both these teams, but I hate the Eagles a little bit more, so Giants.
Okay. Yeah. We're like really on different sides with this. I would say I would like the Chiefs and I would like the Eagles so far. Just because those are the teams I would like to see keep playing. Like, I love Brian Daboll. Really fun story there with Danny Dimes, but I actually want to see the good football teams keep going.
It makes Joe Judge look so bad, though, if the Giants keep going. I think that's very
true. That's
fun.
True. That is a fun
so
talking
funny.
Point. That is a fun talking point. Bills, Bengals.
I think the Bengals are getting screwed, so I'll root for them in this one just because the Bills are a division team, but also hard to root against Buffalo. I still will, though. I'll take the Bengals.
See, okay, I like the Bengals because I love Joe Burrow.
Oh, right.
And I felt like that made me a bad person rooting against the Bills. So I'm glad that you are also on that, in that ship with me, on that boat, on the boat with me. I don't know. Whatever. Keep moving. 49ers,
sailing.
Cowboys.
I want the Niners to advance. I don't like the Cowboys.
I hate the Cowboys. Yeah, thank you.
I'm all set with the Cowboys. Let's see Brock Purdy go out there and carve up that defense.
I would love to see Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl.
You thought Twitter was annoying last week. Oh, Brock Purdy reminds me of another quarterback that went very late in the draft and carried his team to a Super Bowl.
This is true. We should really just root for the
Nick Foles.
For the
yes, Nick Foles, of course.
For the teams that are going to have the storylines that relay most directly back to the Patriots. So we can talk about that.
I'll tell you what, if the Jaguars beat the Chiefs, that's bad news for the Patriots, I believe. I think that if Trevor Lawrence has some real playoff postseason success, if he goes to Arrowhead and beats Patrick Mahomes, then just add that to another quarterback and another team that's probably you're going to have to be looking up at for the next couple of years, because I don't think Mac Jones and the Patriots be anywhere close to doing something like that. That's just sort of where
two
I stand.
Two Bama quarterbacks going deep in the playoffs, and one of them is not Mac Jones?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can we talk about this, what's happening with the AFC championship and what it might signal next?
Absolutely, because I think it could be one of the biggest mistakes the NFL, yes, the NFL has ever made. We'll do that right after these words.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
There's your phone number. It's Christian Arcan. Megan Ottolini here. Going until 6 o'clock. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment.
I can't.
Can't what?
This microphone.
The microphone's falling. Broken now, too?
Look, I don't know. Look at this. It's just falling over. It's probably
it's gone,
something
it's gone
I
limp.
Did. It has. It is not simping for me.
No.
The microphone's not a sim. Why did we tweet that out?
Hey, it's a good segment.
Why did we tweet that out?
It was funny.
Do you know what you're asking for?
I know what you're asking for.
Real quick question. Are figs good for you?
I've heard yes.
Figs?
Okay. Yeah, figs. I got this like fig bar.
I think I think they are.
I'm eating it because it looked like the healthiest thing in there.
Not the double Snickers the other day.
Did you notice
I doing the Body by Arcan plan?
Whoa, that's rough.
Hey. Okay, Jose Iglesias, geez. Taking it from all the shrapnel from all sides here.
You notice the salad I got at lunch?
I did notice that with the fried chicken in it.
Yeah.
It was crispy chicken.
No, it was grilled chicken, and then you went.
And then you changed it to the fried chicken.
There's crispy chicken? I'll have that. Quote.
Somebody else at the table ordered crispy chicken, and I said I didn't know that was an option. Mm-hmm. Toss that in there.
I got what I always get when I go over to Stockyard. I got my French dip, because that is the best thing they made. I think it is. I think it's the best French dip in the world.
I think it's weighed you down during this show.
It may have.
I feel like your energy has been a little off at some point.
It's the
jus.
That's why the jus got me.
At least you had a good lunch, though.
I did. I had a very good lunch. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Before we get to your phone calls, real quick, Adam Schefter tweeted today that more than 50,000 tickets were purchased by the Bills and Chiefs season ticket holders in the first 24 hours they were for sale for the, if needed, neutral site AFC Championship game. Bills fans would be seated on their side of the field. Chiefs fans would be on the other side. Now, they're going to play this game in St. Louis, is that right? What?
I'm going to throw up.
Why?
Oh, my God.
What?
The text line says that figs contain bugs and bug eggs. Is
figs
that true?
Have bugs
I'm sorry.
And bug
I'm
eggs
having my ADHD is acting up. Is that true?
Are there bugs in figs?
Yes,
there are dead bugs in figs.
Oh, my God.
The fig digests the dead bug as it ripens and basically crushes it into, like, ash and dust. So the crunchy texture at the center is just the seeds. Don't worry, that's not bugs, but there are bugs in there. Yeah. So what?
That's disgusting.
You know what's in a hot dog?
No, but I don't. Nobody's okay. Telling
bugs,
me.
Bugs, actually. Trick question.
You ever
bugs.
Saw what they put in the hot dog? You'd be rushing to go eat bugs. Come on. That doesn't bother me at all. So what?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Ever eaten a dead bug?
Yeah. I feel sick.
I went one level further. It says, are there really dead wasps in your figs?
Dead wasps.
Dead wasps. Which says, no. While female wasps lay eggs within a fig fruit, the crunch you experience when eating a fig does not come from those eggs. So apparently enough people have had the freak out that Mega was currently experiencing live in real time, like these people have.
You guys ever eaten crickets?
No.
You ever eaten a cricket?
No, that's a mariner's thing, right?
I've had like a fried cricket.
I was in Mexico.
But I knew I was eating a cricket. I didn't know that a fig is made of bugs.
Oh, so what?
That's just... I'm just going to stick to junk food
from
now on.
If you've eaten a cricket, then what's wrong with eating a fig bug? You know? Like, what's the difference?
Somebody says, how the F didn't you know this? Does everyone know that figs are bugs?
I don't know anything about that. I didn't know that there was bugs and figs, but I'm not bothered by it. I'm not even put off by it.
You said hot dogs are just lips and buttholes.
It's true. That's what hot dogs are. Delicious cow buttholes. You know what? I'm kind of hungry for one right now. But yeah, no, that wouldn't even bother me. You could have told me that while I was eating a fig, I would have continued eating it. I wouldn't even
I feel like I'm on Fear Factor.
Have you ever had Rocky Mountain oysters?
What is that? Is that like one of those things like...
Take it away, Arcan.
One of those things that people make up in high school?
No,
it's a real thing.
Are real things that you can buy in Colorado. They are deep-fried cow balls. Is what they are. They flatten them out and then they bread them and they deep fry them.
Deep fry anything, it tastes good.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And I was first tricked into eating them. I didn't know what it was. I was young and someone tricked me into eating them. And so now I figured, well, now that I've eaten them, I can trick other people because I've already done it. You know, like I've already crossed the threshold.
I don't even want to look at this, man.
And yeah, so that's it. Rocky Mountain oysters.
Get away.
Oh, yeah. Figs. I'll eat those. Look at that. That's probably not even real figs in there. That's a granola bar.
You're trying to make me feel better.
Did you read the ingredients? Did they list dead wasps as one of the ingredients? You should always read the backs of stuff.
No, this is a scam. Sorry, I've taken this really off the rails. It's just I did not know. I got to stop looking at the text line.
I believe the neutral site game was going to be held in Atlanta.
I could have gone the rest of my life without knowing that.
You know that you swallow like a bunch of spiders in your life when you're sleeping? Did you know that?
That's a myth.
Is that a myth?
That's a myth.
Is that true? I thought that was true.
That's 100% true.
Yeah,
that
right.
is not true.
In your life, you swallow like a bunch of spiders, I thought.
It's like eight spiders or something.
And in your
then
sleep,
people,
yeah.
People will say like, oh, a year, because that's not a real, it's like when people attribute quotes to Abraham Lincoln, and it's like, no, that just came from the internet.
Oh, okay. I guess it's not true.
Yeah, you found it, right?
Yeah, I found it.
See, this is no fun when you look up what the real answer is.
Yeah, that's
I like our version of Ripley's Believe It or Not, where we just believe every gross thing that comes to our mind.
Yeah, that's better. 617-779-7937. So you're not going to finish that granola bar, is what you're telling me?
Dude, there's dead bugs in it.
I mean, there might be.
How does everyone else know this?
Not every single fig has a dead bug in it, I don't think. Right?
It sounds
or
like
do they because they have to like pollinate? Maybe that's why.
It sounds
they do
like have that's to the main component of figs is dead bugs.
Well, that's how it gets that delicious tang. That's how you get that flavor. All the dead wasp gristle in there.
There are actually 900 species of fig wasps responsible for pollinating the world's 900 species of figs. One of which that Megan was eating deliciously until 2 minutes ago when she looked at the text line.
I need to brush my teeth.
Which never goes well for anybody.
That's why you should never look at the text line. 617-779-7937.
Anyway, neutral site for the ACC.
There's your phone number. They were going to do it. Neutral site. It's a big mistake. We'll explore more of that in the final hour coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.